بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his companions and all those who follow his way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson today, we come to the chapter of Al-Mash al-Khufayn, Bab al-Mash al-Khufayn, the chapter of wiping over the khuf. So this chapter that we're going to cover, and there are two hadith in this chapter, the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah and the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhum. It's an important chapter because it relates to us and it can be implemented in our daily lives. And it is regarding wiping over the khuf, which are loosely translated as leather socks. And before we go into explaining both of the hadith, I'll give a quick introduction or summary into some of the rulings regarding al-masḥ al-khuffayn. So when it comes to performing wudu or purifying ourselves, we have al-ghusl and we have al-masḥ. The two different things, al-ghusl and al-masḥ. Ghusl is a person washing his body parts with water. So you take water and you wash your body parts. And al-masḥ is wiping over the body part with wet hands. So it isn't that you're going to be splashing water on the body part and water is going to be dripping. It's merely wetting your hands and then wiping over that body part. This is the meaning of al-masḥ. And as for al-khuf, then khuf is that which is worn on the feet made out of leather. So it's not the shoes and neither is it fabric socks. But between both of them, sometimes, especially in the olden days, they used to wear something made out of leather, which covered the feet. And this is called al-khuf. And anything which is similar to al-khuf, like wearing socks or wearing shoes, it can all come under the meaning of al-khuf. So when we say al-mas'hu al-khufayn, wiping over the two khufs, then either that which is worn from leather, or anything which is similar to that which is worn upon the feet, whether it's fabric socks or shoes or anything similar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they permitted us to merely wipe over the khuf as opposed to washing the feet. And this was in order to lift any difficulty which the ummah is upon, and to make the religion easy for the people. Because as we mentioned in the previous lessons, this religion, it is built upon ease. The rulings of this religion are all built upon ease. There is nothing difficult in this religion. And we have a principle, and Sheikh Sa'di mentions it in his poetry. He said, وَمِنْ قَوَاعِدِ الشَّرِيعَةِ تَيْسِيرُ, that from the principles of this religion is ease. The rulings of this religion are built upon ease. في كل أمر نابه التعسير, in every situation in which there is difficulty, then the religion brings ease. So the reason why al-masḥ al-khuffayn, why we are permitted to wipe over leather socks as opposed to taking them off and washing your feet, the reason why this is legislated, to make it easy for the ummah, because there is a level of difficulty for a person. If he's going to make wudu, let's say you're out to work, and then you have to remove your shoes, you have to remove your socks, you have to wash your feet, wait for them to dry, and then you have to place them on again. There's a level of, there's a level of difficulty. So for this reason, al-mas'h al-khufayn has been permitted. Al-mas'h al-khufayn is something which is established in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And wiping over, as opposed to washing, isn't only done on the feet. Rather, any part of the body which you have to make wudu over, if there's a covering over it and it's difficult to remove that covering for whatever reason, then mash can be made. So for example, if it is a bandage that you're wearing on your arm, which is called al-jabira, then you're allowed to make mash over it. If it is an imama, a turban, which a person is wearing over his head, then you're allowed to make mash over it. If it's a helmet that somebody was wearing as an example and it was difficult to take it off, you can perform mash upon it. As I mentioned, shoes, socks, al-khuf, anything like this, you're allowed to make mash over it. And some of the ulama, like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen from the contemporary scholars, they even permitted a woman to make mash over her hijab if there is a difficulty in her removing her hijab. So for example, she's outside, and if she removes her hijab, maybe other people, men, will see her hair. They say it's permitted for her to wipe over the hijab, the khimar, what's called the khimar, as opposed to taking it off and doing mas' ala ras. If it's very cold outside, and if she removes the head covering, she might get cold. Again, it is permitted. And all of this is because of that level of difficulty. So it isn't something which is absolutely permitted when it comes to the hijab. For example, a person says, if I'm wearing a hat, I can make mas' over it. No, this isn't allowed, because it's very easy to remove the hat. But something like an imama, a turban, or the khimar, the hijab for a woman, or a bandage, for example, due to an illness, or the khufain, shoes, socks, then it is permitted to make mas' over them. As I mentioned, al-mas' ala al-khufain is established and legislated, rather agreed upon by Ahlul Sunnah. So Ahlul Sunnah, they have ijma', they have unanimous agreement that it is permitted for a person to wipe over the khuf. And the only groups in the history of the Muslims and the Muslim sects who opposed this was the Rawafidh, the Shia, and some amongst the Khawarij. They are the only two groups from the history of Islam who have ever opposed making mas' over al-khuffain. And for this reason, the scholars, they even mention the issue of al-mas' al-khuffain in the books of Aqeedah. In the books of Aqeedah of the Salaf, they mention al-mas' al-khuffain because it became an issue which was famous as a difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the people of innovation. So anybody who denied the legislation of wiping over the khuf, they would say that this person is a person of innovation, straight away, because of how famous the issue was and that all of the Muslims had agreed upon it. And the ahadith regarding al-mas' al-khufayn are mutawatir. And the meaning of mutawatir, very loosely, is that there are so many narrations from so many narrators regarding al-mas' al-khufayn that it's impossible for it to be a lie or impossible for there to be any doubt in those narrations. In fact, al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimullah, he said, حدثني سبعون من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه مسح على الخفين. الحسن البصري رحمه الله said that 70 companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they narrated to me that he used to wipe over the khuf, over 70 companions. And الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, he said, فِيهِ أَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ. There are 40 different narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam proving the legislation of wiping over the khuf. So anybody who denies wiping over the khuf and says that it is not legislated, then he's from the people of innovation. And for this reason, even though it's a fiqh issue, the scholars from amongst the salaf, they should mention al-mas' al-khufayn in the books of Al-Aqeedah and the books of As-Sunnah. And when I say Al-Mas' Al-Khufayn, I mean wiping over the leather socks. As for wiping over the fabric socks, then there is a difference of opinion. Wiping over fabric socks, like what we wear, there is a legitimate difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha and the ulama. But as for the khuf, the leather socks, then there is no difference of opinion apart from the Rawafidh and the Khawarij. And the correct opinion regarding wiping over fabric socks or shoes is that it is permitted. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith, رَخَّصَ الْمَسْحَ عَلَى الْعَمَائِمْ وَالتَّسَاخِينَ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he permitted making masḥ over the amaim, the turbans, and he permitted wiping over at-tasakhin. The meaning of tasakhin is that anything which covers and keeps the feet of a person warm. Anything which keeps the feet of a person warm and covers his feet, then masḥ is permitted. And masḥ al-khuffain, wiping over the khuf, this is a rukhsa. And the scholars of fiqh and usul fiqh, they mention this word rukhsa. What it means is that it is an allowance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Wiping over the khuf, this is an allowance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And Allah loves for his rukhas, his allowances to be accepted. So if we're in a situation when we are wearing the khuf or we're wearing the socks, then the sunnah is that you make masḥ over it, and we shouldn't say, no, it's better to remove the socks and make a ghusl and wash the feet. Even though it's permitted for a person to remove his socks and make ghusl and wash his feet. But that which is better and closer to the sunnah is that if you're wearing socks, you perform masḥ, and if you're not wearing socks, then you wash it with al-ghusl. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you look at these ahadith, whatever state he was upon, then he used to do that thing according to the state he was upon. So if he was wearing something on his feet, then he would make masḥ and he would never take it off. And if he wasn't wearing something, then he would wash his feet and he would never put a khuf on in order to make masḥ over it. And the other benefit in making masḥ over the khuf, if you're wearing it, is you're showing your difference to the people of innovation. So imagine if you're wearing the khuf or you're wearing something on your feet, and then you take it off to make ghusl, perhaps a person would say that you're from the people of innovation. Because Ahl Sunnah, we accept the legislation of Al-Mas' Al-Khuffain. So you're reviving the Sunnah, and also you are opposing and being different to Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation. And this is something which is recommended for us to do. After this, how long can a person wipe over that which he is wearing on his feet? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set a certain period for this. For the person who is resident, so for example, those of us who live in Nelson and we're not traveling, it is permitted for us to wipe over our footwear for a day and a night, yawman wa layla. A full day and a night, a person is allowed to wipe over his footwear. And as for the one who is traveling a journey, the distance of a journey, then 3 days and three nights consecutively. And when does the beginning period of al-masḥ start? Meaning, if a person places on something on his feet, let's say he wears the khuf, has the kind of the 24 hours started straight away? No. There's a slight difference of opinion, but the correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is that after a person has broken his wudu, then now the period of al-masḥ al-khuffain, it has started. So for example, if a person placed on his footwear, his masḥ, at Fajr time, and he doesn't take it off, his period of ending the allowance of masḥ doesn't finish at Fajr time. Rather, if you place him on at Fajr time, and then he didn't break his wudu until Dhuhr time, then the period of making masjid goes all the way to Dhuhr time. And some of the ulama, they mentioned that the period doesn't start once you've broken your wudu. Rather, it starts once you've broken your wudu and you've made masjid once, then you have another day and a night. But the correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is that it's when you break your wudu, from then your period of masjid has started. Now, in order for us to wipe over the khuf, there are certain conditions. We could say there are four conditions. The first condition is that when you place on your footwear or when you place on your khuf, you have to do it in a state of wudu, or you have to do it whilst you are in a state of purity. If you have made wudu with water Then you place on your footwear, then you are permitted to make masḥ or wipe over it. But if a person, he places on his footwear and he hasn't made ghusl or he hasn't made wudu, then he cannot make masḥ over it. Then he has to remove his socks, remove his khuf, wash his feet, make wudu, and then he can start his masḥ. So this is the main condition. Now this is the first condition. The second condition is that which you are wearing has to be Islamically permitted. Meaning, it cannot be footwear which is stolen, for example. For men, it can't be made out of silk. Rather, it has to be something which is permitted. Because the rukhas, the allowances which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is only in those matters which are permitted. So if somebody stole footwear, as an example, and then he wanted to make masr over it, it isn't allowed. The rukhas of Allah, the allowances of Allah, is in only that which is permitted. The third condition is that it has to cover that which you are wearing, your khuf, it has to cover your feet. It has to cover your feet. And some of the fuqaha mention up to the ankle, and Allah knows best. However, if the socks are slightly torn, or they have holes in them, then it is still permitted to make masḥ over it. Because they mentioned regarding the companions that they were the most poor of people, and often their clothes would be in tatters, torn, or their socks would have holes in them. So even if you have holes in your socks, then it is permitted for a person to make masḥ over it, as long as the hole, or that which is in it, is not covering, isn't greater than that which it is covering. So if it's a hole like some people have, then it's permitted. But if it's to such an extent that most of your foot is showing and less of it is being covered, then you're not allowed to make masḥ over it. And then the fourth condition is that masḥ alal khuffain can only be done from al-hadath al-asghar, from the minor form of impurity. As for al-hadath al-akbar, the major form of impurity, al-janaba, then ghusl has to be made. So a person has to remove his footwear, remove his khuf, and make a full ghusl. Unless, of course, there's a necessity like a bandage. In this situation, a person can wipe over the bandage. So he washes the rest of his body, and the bandage which is being covered, he merely wipes over it. So the period of 1 day and night for a resident and 3 days and nights for a traveller is for the khuf. As for the bandage, then there's no period. The period for the bandage is when you're able to take the bandage off. So as long as you're still injured or you still have a cut, that can stay and you don't have to take it off. You don't have to wash it until you've recovered from that injury and you're able to take the bandage off. Then the next point is, if a person made wudu and then he wore some footwear, he placed on some khuf, and he was in a state of wudu, and then he took them off, and then he wore them again, is he allowed to make masḥ over them or not? So a person, he wears footwear whilst being in a state of wudu, and then he takes the footwear off, and then he places them on again, then is he allowed to make khuf over them? And the ulama, amongst them Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentions two different situations. He said that if you placed your footwear on making wudu, and then you took them off, and then you placed them on again, and you haven't broken your wudu, you're still in your first wudu, then you can make masḥ over it. And the second condition is that a person, he's placed on his footwear, he's broken his wudu, then he still has his masḥ, his khuf on, he's repeated his wudu, and then he's made masḥ over them, he's wiped over them, then he takes them off, and then he puts them on again, then here you're not allowed to make masḥ again. So making masḥ over the footwear, if it's been taken off, is only made from the first wudu, as long as you are in the first wudu. But if you break your wudu, and then you wiped over them, and then you take your socks off, then you cannot make masḥ over them once again. And for this reason, the ulama, they say, يُبْطِلْ الْمَسْحْ وَلَا تُبْطِلْ الطَّهَارَةِ يُبْطِلْ الْمَسْحْ وَلَا يُبْطِلْ الطَّهَارَةِ. That taking off your footwear and placing them on again, it doesn't break your purification, but it breaks the allowance of making masḥ over them once again. And as I mentioned, it is permitted for a person to wipe over his socks and wipe over his shoes. Rather, if a person had socks on in a state of wudu and then he placed shoes on top of them, it's permitted for a person to make masḥ over that which is on the top. And how does a person make masḥ ala al-khuffayn? That you make masḥ with your right hand over your right foot and your left hand on your left foot, starting from the fingertips all the way to above the ankle, like this. And at the same time as there is a narration. So a person starts like this, right hand on the right foot, left hand on the left foot, from the toes to near the shin or over the ankle and just over the top. As for making masḥ on the bottom of the foot, then this is not permitted. And for this reason, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, لو كان دين بالعقل, if this religion was built upon a person's logic, لكان أسفل الخف أولى بالمسح من أعلى, then the bottom of the foot would be more appropriate that we have to make masḥ over it than the top. Because the part of the foot which often gets dirty or impures the bottom, not the top in most cases, but this religion is built upon revelation from Allah. We look into the Quran, we look into the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, whatever we find in it, we implement. Whether it agrees with our logic, it doesn't agree with our logic, it doesn't matter. Because the wisdom is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the rulings regarding al-masḥ ala al-khuffayn. We'll go through that hadith, and then if anybody's got any questions, we'll try to answer those questions. So the first hadith in this chapter, Bab al-Mas'hi ala al-Khuffayn, is the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. An Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu qal, Kuntu ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin fa'ahwaytu li'anzi'a khuffayhi faqal, da'huma fa'inni adkhaltuhuma tahiratayn famasaha alayhima. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu narrates, he said, I was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I moved to remove his khuf for him, and he said, leave them, for indeed my feet were in a state of purity when I wore them. So he wiped over them. So in this hadith, this famous companion, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a journey somewhere. They were going somewhere. And in one of the narrations of Sahih Bukhari, it mentions that this was during Al-Ghazwat al-Tabuk, during the Battle of al-Tabuk in the 9th Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at Fajr time. So in 9th year of the Hijrah, in the Battle of al-Tabuk, which is one of the later battles, at the time of the Fajr prayer, this is when this happened. So this was towards the final part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he was from amongst those people who was honored in being in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he used to help the Prophet make wudu, he used to travel with the Prophet, he used to carry things for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he used to also guard the Prophet like he did in the battle of Uhud. And so he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst we were on a journey, so now they're travellers, they're not resident, he was making wudu. And naturally, when the Prophet was making wudu and he was wearing some footwear, Al-Mughira, he came down in order to remove the footwear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was wearing, the khuf. And the Prophet said to him, leave them, leave my footwear on, leave my khuf on, because I put them on whilst I was in a state of wudu. So when he said, فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ, I wore them in a state of purity, meaning in a state of wudu. And then after this, مَسَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, he wiped over them. And the second hadith is the hadith of حُذَيْفَة ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu قال, كُنْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَبَالَ وَتَوَضَّأَ وَمَسَحَ عَلَى خُفَيْهِ. That Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu narrates, he said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He urinated, he performed wudu, and he wiped over his khuf. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. In one of the wordings of this hadith, it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he urinated while standing up. I think it was last week or the week before when we spoke about the manners of answering the call of nature. And we said that the general guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, his general sunnah is that he used to urinate whilst he was sitting down. And I mentioned the hadith of Hudhayfa in Sahih Bukhari, in which the Prophet ﷺ urinated standing up. And we said, therefore, it is permitted, especially if there is a necessity. If there is a necessity, then it is permitted. However, that which is better and more safer for a person is that a person urinates sitting down. And this is the general guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. And what do we benefit from both of these ahadith? Firstly, the legislation or the allowance of wiping over the khuf. Whether that's whilst travelling, like the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, because the Prophet was travelling, or whether it's in residence, like the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhuma. And the second benefit that we take is that a person should do that which is legislated according to the state he is in. So notice in these ahadith, even though Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah was going to take his footwear off, the Prophet ﷺ forbade him. He didn't say, yes, take them off and I'll wash my feet and it's better to wash my feet. Because the Prophet ﷺ was wearing the khuf, he made mas'h over them. And in other situations in which he wasn't wearing the khuf, he didn't then place on the khuf in order to make mas over it. So whatever situation you're in, the sunnah is that you implement the ruling according to the situation you're in. This is the same when it comes to the prayer. As you know, it is permitted for a person to pray whilst wearing shoes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khalifu al-mushrikeen, sallu fi na'alikum." Oppose the mushrikun and pray in your shoes. And the ulama have mentioned that if you're in a state in which you're not wearing shoes, then the sunnah is that you don't wear shoes when you are praying. So in the masajid where we don't wear shoes, at home, in your house, in your bedroom where you don't wear the shoe, you leave your shoes off. And if you're outside somewhere, in the park, on a journey, the prayer time comes and you're wearing the shoes, then it is better, more virtuous, and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that you pray with your shoes on. Even though it's permitted to take your shoes off, but the guidance of the Prophet is, if you're in that state, then implement the ruling for the state that you are upon. Also, from the benefits of this hadith, of these hadith is, that in order for you to make mas'h over your footwear, the condition is that you have to have wore them in purity or whilst making, after making ghusl or ablution. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he justified his answer to Al-Mughira, he said, فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ, because I wore both of them on whilst being in a state of purity. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is the good and beautiful manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he would teach the people. When Al-Mughira radiallahu anhu, when he wanted to remove the footwear, did the Prophet just prohibit him? Said, no, don't do it. Rather, he prohibited him, he forbade him, and then he explained why he forbade him. He said, don't do it because I've placed them on whilst in a state of wudu. So this is the same when we try to educate people, that we don't just say to people that this is haram or this is forbidden, but we try to explain to them why something is wrong. And also, if there is an alternative, then we give them that alternative. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of being in the service and in the aid of the people of knowledge and those who have been ennobled and honored in al-Islam. So, for example, the scholars, the imam of the masajid, the elderly, anybody like this, then it is something good to be in their service. Whether even in normal matters, helping them in their wudu, carrying their shoes for them, carrying their book for them. If there's an elder who needs a chair, you go and you get his chair for him. If somebody's walking with his walking stick, you bring his walking stick to him and you're giving. Anything like this, when it comes to serving food for that person, inviting that person to your house, if he is from the people of virtue, the people of knowledge, somebody who is respected in Islam, then like Al-Mughira did, it is virtuous to aid and serve that person. And one of the benefits in serving and helping the people of knowledge is that you will acquire knowledge from them. So had it not been for this action of Al-Mughira, helping the Prophet ﷺ in making wudu, then we would not have learnt this hadith. So you always gain knowledge, even if you are aiding and serving the ulama, the people of knowledge, in normal affairs. From the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiallahu anhu, that he was also the khadim, the servant or the aid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from the benefits of the hadith of Hudhayfa is that Al-Masih can be done whilst you are resident or whilst you are travelling. As I mentioned, Al-Mughira was whilst he was travelling, and the hadith of Hudhayfa is whilst he was resident. Also, the permissibility of urinating while standing up, it is taken from that full hadith. Also, the permissibility of a person urinating, even if there is a person who is somewhere relatively near him. As long as that person cannot see your awrah, then it is permitted. Because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam urinating standing up, but there was a distance between them. But he didn't see his private parts. So as long as the awrah of a person is covered, then it is permitted. And these are the general benefits from both of these ahadith and some of the rulings of Al-Masih al-Khuffain. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Are there any questions regarding wiping over footwear? The ulama, they differed regarding a woman wiping over her khimar. And the meaning of khimar is the head covering. Nowadays it's called hijab, but in the books of the fuqaha they call it al-khimar. The majority of the ulama, amongst them the Ahnaf and the Shafi'iyya, and I think some of the Malikiyya, they said that it isn't permitted. It isn't permitted for a woman to wipe over the hijab. Some amongst the scholars, and amongst them a narration from the Hanabila, they said that it is permitted for a woman to wipe over her khimar. Permitted, you know, absolutely. And then there are other ulama who were in the middle, amongst them Shaykh Hussain Taymiyyah. They said that it is permitted for a woman to wipe over her khimar if there is a difficulty in her removing her khimar. As I mentioned, she's outside somewhere, she fears that her hair might be shown to the people. It's going to take her some time putting the khimar on again. It's cold outside. In those situations, it is permitted. And the reason why that is the correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is because the illah, the reasoning is the same. The reason why the Prophet ﷺ permitted the person wearing the turban making a mas'a over the khufain is because of the difficulty that comes out of it. So the same for the women when it comes to wearing the khimar.